Hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And if we believe that the truth will set us free, then it's the lies that keep us bound, amen? If we believe a lie, we get trapped in a thought prison. But it's very important to get the truth in our hearts, because what we believe to be true is what affects our whole behavior in life. It affects how we act and react, and what we think other people think of us, what our vision is of the world, of God, and everything around us. All is based on what's in our heart, of what we believe to be true. But Jesus said, the truth is conditional. And it's conditional, he said, on holding to his teachings. So it's very important to realize that basically what Jesus is saying is the Word of God is the truth, and whatever is not in line with the Word of God is a lie. Amen? And if we hold to the truth, then we're going to walk in freedom. But if we accept stinking thinking, we're going to be stuck in another spot. And we're going to be in lie. Now, it's really important to realize that as humans, we usually don't believe the Word of God. We lean on our own understanding. Sadly, it's something we all do. We have a hard time accepting what truth is. And it usually becomes relative instead of absolute. You know, in that great Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just your head, and lean not on what you think is true. That's really what the Lord is telling us. And you remember when Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, and he said to Pilate, he says, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate responded, what is truth? Because to Pilate, truth was whatever you wanted to believe. And we're in a society and culture today that truth becomes relative, not absolute. It becomes what we want it to be, what makes us comfortable. And this has really gone down through the ages, right to the dawn of the birth of mankind, this dilemma of believing the Word of God is truth or believing our own understanding is truth. Because remember when God created man, and Adam and Eve were with God in the garden, and God gave the first truth to Adam and Eve. And you'll find this back in Genesis 2. And it said, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die. Now, that was a truth from God. And we know what happened, because the enemy came in the form of a serpent. And he first asked Eve, it's rather interesting, he asked Eve, did God really say that? And it's interesting that she repeated, yeah, he did say that. So there was no excuse. She knew exactly what God had said. And then we see the first lie. Because Satan says to Eve, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, you can work out your own truth. You don't need God, because you can be a God. You can decide what's right and what's wrong, not God. And sadly, Eve, it says, was also had something inside of her. She wanted to gain wisdom. And so she believed the lie. And she had a choice. She could have continued to believe God, or she could believe the lie. And she believed the lie. And all of us, all of mankind, were broken because of the disobedience. And the consequences, we got locked in a thought prison. And that struggle carried on. And it came down like a genetic defect to each of us, that we're born in a sin condition, rebellion against God. That's why Jesus called Satan the father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning, and there's no truth in him. So when he's whispering stuff to you, you know it's a lie. So basically, there's a reality that Jesus knew, God knew that man had to have the truth. And so he sent the Word of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Truth came in the person of Jesus, his only begotten Son. And Jesus came into the world full of grace and truth, as the Word of God, as the truth, to bring truth back to man, so that each of us had a choice to accept Jesus or believe our own thinking. And so once again, this wonder salvation of Jesus came into the world. The Word became flesh. The Word of God, the truth, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Because Jesus knew the only way we could be free is by believing the truth in him, accepting him as the truth. Amen? That's the only way we could step through. The only way we could get through of this prison of the way it was. And from that, we could be free by accepting him. We would then get the truth about God, about ourselves, and about those around us. So it was a wonderful blessing. And Jesus was very concerned that we came to a knowledge of the truth. So he sent the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when he referred to the Holy Spirit, he usually referred to him as the Spirit of truth. Amen? He was the Spirit of truth. And you can read that. I'm just going to read a few of these passages. In John 14, if you love me, keep my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world does not know him, can't accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he lives in you and he'll be with you. And so we have the Spirit of truth inside of us, united with our spirit to reveal truth to our mind. John 15, when the advocate comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And in John 16, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. He'll only speak what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. So we have the reality that Jesus came as the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And that's why it says in 2 Corinthians, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen? That's why, is that we walk by the Spirit, we're going to walk in freedom. Now, you may wonder, well, how does that affect me personally today? How does that affect you and I as we walk through this world? Because many of us have believed a lie about ourselves. We've accepted a lie about ourselves, or about others, or about God. And in essence, we're bound, just like Jesus said, by the lies we believe. They became truths to us. And they became ingrained in our heart. And sadly, those lies imprison us. And we no longer feel free to experience everything that the cross has done for us. We languish in a thought prison. And it blocks our potential. And it blocks our freedom. And it blocks us becoming the people God wanted us to be and who he paid for at the cross to set us free. Amen? We sing about the freedom of the cross, but will we feel it? Now, I was listening to a series by Jack Frost. I don't know, he's a great teacher, minister who found the Lord in a wonderful way. But he said 80% of Christians who go to church, all they have is a happy, smiley face on the outside and a bundle of junk inside. I thought, whoa, I can testify to that too. Because there's a reality that there's something inside of us that have believed, you know, there's another Jack Frost, he's the detective on the British show. And whenever you tell a lie, he says, you're telling a porky. So I know that there's some Porky's I've believed, but, you know, there's something inside of us that blocks us and it keeps us bound by that garbage thinking. And this keeps us in prison. And this is why I want you to listen to these words in Psalm 107. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering and are in chains. Because when we've accepted a lie, we can languish in depression, despair. We can get down on ourselves. We can feel right in the pit. Amen? Ever been there? And basically, we're exactly just like described there. We sit in darkness. We sit alone. We sit afraid. We sit in a place we don't think anyone's there for us. And God becomes distant. But here's the good news, further in Psalm 107. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. And there's no prison of thought that is so strong that Jesus Christ can't break down, amen? He can break through and set you free. You don't have to languish in that place of thought and depression and despair and hurt and anger and pain. You can be set free by the truth of God, the freedom. And you know, all the inner healing ministries are all based on one thing, whether it be wholeness through Christ, where Elaine and I have ministered, or Amazing Love that Jerry and Scott Gardner down in Salt Spring have ministered. It has one thing in common, to bring us to a knowledge of the truth. That's it. To bring us to a knowledge of the truth about ourselves. But often we don't accept the truth, and so we need the power of God to show us the truth, the Holy Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit to give us a revelation of the lie we've believed. Okay? Which affects us. And as we ask him, he tells us. Now, many of us had loving moms, but some of us haven't. Some of us haven't. Some of us may have been adopted. And our view about ourselves may be colored from that. But there's a wonderful promise. The truth of God says, now listen. He said all this through Isaiah 49. Even if a mother rejects you and has no compassion on the baby she has born, yet I'll never forget you. I've got you engraved on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. There's not one time I'm not looking after you. I love you. And you don't leave the person you love, amen? That's what God says. And that's the reality. And I want to share with you a testimony of two folks that found this revelation of where they were believing a lie. And the first one was a friend, I'm going to call him John. And when he grew up in a very poor family. He was a little boy, 5 or 6. And his mom and dad felt they couldn't keep him. They had no money. They were destitute. They had little food. And so they decided that they would send this little guy off to an orphanage. And they took their son, and he packed his few belongings, and they took him. And he was taken away from mommy and daddy and his sister. And they took him to this residential school. And here he was, this little guy, terrified and afraid. Why was mommy and daddy pushing him out the door? Why was he being treated like that? What was wrong with him? And of course, these residential schools were pretty cruel. It wasn't just First Nations folks that got harmed there. Anyone who went there. There were good people there too. But he had a very hard time. And there was a deep grieving in his heart of pain that he'd been rejected, that no one wanted him. And he was abandoned. And as he grew up in adulthood, that lie stayed with him. It stayed with him all his life. And it would come out when he prayed, he would wail like this little boy crying for mommy and daddy. And the lie was keeping him bound. He was trapped in a thought prison. And one day he was with some prayer ministers, and he was hearing the story of Joseph. You remember Joseph, and you can find it in the book of Genesis. And Joseph, loved by his dad and mom in that case, but hated by his brothers. And they threw him down a well, eventually sold him in slavery, and he goes all the way through these terrible sufferings. He ends up in prison, wrongfully accused, and so on. He ends up in prison, but he has an anointing by God, because no matter what has happened, God is with him. And eventually Joseph interprets the king of Egypt's dreams. And the king of Egypt, so impressed, he makes him a prince of Egypt. And lo and behold, his brothers come back, cap in hand, to ask for grain. And when he reveals that he's their brother they tried to kill, they're scared stiff. And Joseph says to them, "Don't be afraid. It wasn't you who sent me here. It was God. Because God sent me ahead of you to bring us all into safety." And there was a beautiful reconciliation. And my friend John, who heard this, for the first time in his life, a revelation came that God had taken him out of this situation to protect him. And even though he went through the suffering of the school, yet he knew that God had loved him and had not abandoned him, had not betrayed him, and had kept him safe. And what a powerful breakthrough it came. He suddenly walked out of that thought prison and walked into the light of Christ. And a great joy just filled his heart, and he was overjoyed because the truth had set him free. And he realized that the truth that I'll never leave you or forsake you, that I'll do all things, you can do all things through me who strengthens you. Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. Those truths broke through the chains that had kept him in prison as a rejected, lonely, and afraid little boy, which was still inside of him. Because we carry that inside of us. It doesn't matter how old we are. I remember ministering to a bishop who was in his 90s. And he said, "George, I just realized a relationship with my mom that needs attention." You see, it never stops. Now, the other testimony I want to share is one I heard back at the Toronto Blessing. And this fellow got up and gave this testimony. He said, "You know, I've been here 3 days. And I watched all this excitement." He said, "I heard the worship. I saw the people dancing, the people getting prayed for, the prophecies, the people lying on the floor in the spirit. And I felt nothing." He said, "I was dry as a bone." He said, "I don't even know why I came, because," he said, "but I did come." And he said, "but 3 days have gone by, you know, went by." And he said, "I just felt it was all ridiculous. I was going home." He was angry. He was bitter inside. And just as he was about to leave, the Holy Spirit came upon him and took him back to a time he was 12 years old. And his daddy, who he really loved, had died. And he was heartbroken. And then he got really angry. He said, "God, why did you take my daddy? I love my daddy, you know. Why did you kill him?" And he said bitterness and anger came into his heart, and he carried on that way through his life. And he said, "As I stood there, and God took me to that time," he says, "I looked up, and there was my daddy standing with Jesus. And he had a smile on his face. And I knew that God hadn't killed my daddy. He had saved him. And that he was there, and he was happy." And he said, "Suddenly all the bitterness and the anger and the rage had melted away from his heart." And he said, "A joy came on me that I couldn't express." It sounded like Scrooge on Christmas Day, you know. He was just so full of joy. He was just full of happiness. He said all those years of anger and bitterness against God had melted away. And he said, I was filled with joy. And here he was, now given a testimony when he was ready to leave, dry and burnt out. And that's what God does. He doesn't want us stuck in a thought prison. When Chris shared about Lazarus in the tomb, that was a good picture. Because what we do is we tend to stay in a tomb with the stone rolled away, but we're hanging around inside, amen? We're still hanging around in the lie. And God says, you don't have to stay there. You can come out into the light. You can be free. And he that the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? So basically, this is a wonderful blessing of God, that God will reveal to you the lie that you've been accepting, perhaps all your life. These lies can go back to when you were in the womb, believe it or not. Because if you were ever being carried by mom and dad and there was turmoil, or perhaps they didn't want you, you'll know. Rejection, right from the heart. But the good news is that Jesus wants to set us free if we're willing to let him. He won't go past your will. And we have a wonderful weapon to do that. It's called the Word of God. Amen? Now, there are two things. One is the written Word of God, and we need to know the truth about us, because if we don't, how are you ever going to know the truth? So dust off the Bibles and have a look at them. And what I like to do is color anything that's pertinent. So someone says, is that your coloring book? I said, yes, that's my coloring book. You said, well, do you make a special color for salvation and this and that? I said, no, it's just whatever highlighter I got. I just stick it there, you know. So, I mean, basically, so that's the written Word of God. So you got to know what the truth is. And say, here's, for example, suppose you're feeling that you're not wanted, inferior, or rejected. How about this truth, 1 John 3:1? See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we be called the children of God. And that is who we are. That is who we are. You see, the thing is, you take the Word of God, but also you use it as a living word. Because the Word of God, it says, is sharp and active, living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing your spiritual side from your fleshy side, your human side. It reveals the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So if you're stuck in stinking thinking, the Word of God is going to cut through that, and it's going to reveal to you what the truth is about you, about God, and about others, if you use it. And it tells us in Ephesians 6 that we have an offensive weapon. You ever read that about the armor of God? You know, about all these wonderful protection against the attack of the enemy. Because don't think that Satan isn't still telling you lies. He loves to tell you lies. He's going to tell you what a great bum you are. He'll remind you of all the misdemeanors you've done. He'll keep you down in a thought prison. He's still doing that. And the Lord said, be aware you're in a spiritual battle. Be aware, but you have divine weapons that will demolish that type of thinking. Because the Word of God, the weapons of God, will demolish the pretensions and understandings that are contrary to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you can take them captive and make them obedient to Christ, the truth. So you can take the Word of God as a sword. It says it's a sword, and in Ephesians 6, it said it's a offensive weapon. Now, the trouble is, most of us, we perhaps know the Word of God, but it's still in its scabbard. It's still in the sheath. You got to pull it out and apply it. Not just know it, but apply it. Amen? You got to do both. I come from a Scottish background. I think of it as claymore. You know, you can whip around and... But you can use... So let me just give you an example. Suppose you're dealing again with that feeling that you're unwanted and rejected. Or you have an identity You don't know who you are. That passage. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is who we are. And then you can personalize it. See what great love the Father has lavished on me, that I should be called the child of God. And that is who I am. That is who you are. You're not lonely or afraid or abandoned or rejected. You're loved and wanted and cherished by God. And He'll see you through any suffering you're going to go through. And if you make a point of identifying and using that suffering for your good, you're going to find great victory in Christ. Or you can wear it and bear it. God wants us to bring flowers out of the desert. Amen? To bring good things out of what the bad things we've gone through. Not one of us here have had an easy time through life. And looking around, I can see that you've had much longer than others to go through it. But to know that God has been with you every step of the way, just as He was with the fellow John or that other fellow at the Toronto Blessing, He was there all the time. He had never left. He was there with you in the suffering, no matter how hard it was, to bring you to a better place. And out of that, He's refining you inside. Amen? It's a beautiful thing that God's doing. But the truth of who you are will set you free. And if you've been believing a lie about yourself, that you're not beautiful, or no one wants to listen to you, or that everyone hates you, or that your mom or dad abandon you, those are lies. Take them to the cross. I'm just going to close. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation of a lie that perhaps you've been believing. It's hard sometimes to realize that we accept lies. We have a hard time admitting we're wrong. It's called stiff-necked in the Bible. But God, in His grace, will reveal. So I'm going to just invite the Holy Spirit, as you focus on Him, to come to you. I want you to reflect on a lie that you've believed about yourself. And I'm going to invite you to see Jesus in that situation and get a picture of what it's all about. Okay? So, Father, we pray now. Holy Spirit, we welcome You to take us back to that place where we first accepted that lie about ourselves. Perhaps as a little boy or little girl. Perhaps something Mom said to us or a teacher. Perhaps an ex-spouse. Take us back to that, Holy Spirit, we pray. Now, Lord Jesus, we pray that You enter that place. You're the God of today, yesterday, and ever, forever. Just come, Lord, and let us get a revelation of You there in that place. Allow that. Allow the Lord to show you that. Don't hold it off. Don't be afraid. Now, we're going to reject that lie, and I just like you to repeat it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we reject that lie. And we accept Your truth. And then we take Your word, Lord God, which says, is not My word like fire, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? We shatter and break the lie that's been around our heart for all these years. Lord, we pray You just infill us now with the healing love of Jesus. The love that washes away the rejection and the grieving and the pain. And washes away, Lord, the anger against ourselves. And Father, just come in Your grace. and let us know how much we're loved, how much we're wanted, how much we're respected, and how much we belong. In Jesus' name, amen. See, that's the freedom the Lord wants for us. He doesn't want us stuck in thought prisons. So many of us go through life, we're still crippled by a lie from childhood, perhaps. And it's colored who we think we are. Sometimes we say, well, that's who I am. That's not who you are. That's who you think you are. That's not who God made you to be. But I really pray that you just keep allowing the Holy Spirit to release you in freedom. Break down the barriers that the enemy is giving you with the truth of God. Use the word of God like a weapon. When Jesus was tempted in the desert by Satan, his weapon was, "It is written." So when you get tempted and you get these things come to you, you say, "It is written." And use the scripture that fits. Like, "It is written, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and sound mind." And if you feel you're having trouble with your mind, use that same scripture. Amen? Don't give in to what the doctors say and say, is their word truth? God's word is true. Amen? Step in faith. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you'll see the other things fall away. You keep standing firm, and all through the armor of God, it's stand firm. What are you standing firm in? The truth. I can't hear you. What do you say? Is it? What is it? Louder, please. Oh, well, that's better. Yeah, well, that's great. I think Larry heard that one. Okay, well, bless you. Well, thank you. And Elaine and I are going to be here if anyone wants affirmation or a bit more prayer. And just pray that, you know, you just walk in the power of God. Walk in the freedom. Walk in the love. Walk in the victory, amen? And basically, he that the Son sets free is free indeed, amen.